Caleb Parsons is 6'9 swing man. He can shoot the three.
Urban Meyer? Liar. Don't believe a word he said.
Look at you go. Look at that. It's like seeing a kid ride a bike.
And I'm going to law school, baby. It all starts here.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sportscast. This is the show for Friday, May 29th, 2009. We are once again coming to you from Oklahoma City. My name is Adam Berry. I'm the assistant sports editor and softball beat writer. And joining me in our hotel is
Kyle Maestri, incoming football beat writer and columnist.
All right, and we just spent the night out at ASA Hall of Fame Stadium here in Oklahoma City, covering Florida's 3-0 win over Arizona in the first round of the Women's College World Series. Kyle, just give some general observations from the game and what you saw out there.
Well, the Gators looked really good today. If you are a Gators fan, you should be pretty pleased with the way things turned out. Stacey Nelson gives up two hits to the first two batters, a couple of singles, proceeds to get out of the inning unscathed, and then dominate the rest of the game. She didn't allow a runner to get into scoring position, completely shut down the Wildcats, shut them out. They're the best offense in the nation by pretty much every measure. Stacey really pitched incredibly well, and that's exactly what you need to win games in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a little, you know, at the beginning of the game when she gave up those two hits, they weren't even, you know, just infield singles or anything. Like, they were, one was a line drive out to right field, another one was a little blooper into left. Hit pretty well, but, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe Stacey can't, you know, dominate this team like she's dominated some other teams like Cal in the Super Regional. But then she gets out of that. She strikes out Stacey Chambers for her first of 12 strikeouts in the game, and that was huge because Stacey Chambers led the nation in home runs with an unbelievable 31 home runs, which we've been trying to wrap our heads around here in Oklahoma City for the last couple of days. But that, to me, that was the turning point just as soon as the first inning. Like, she, you know, keeps them off the board there, and the game's over from that point because the offense obviously came back in the first inning, put a couple runs up.
Quick note on Stacey Chambers. If all the NFCA people that are listening to this podcast, I'm calling you out because how do you have 31 home runs, which is eight more than second place, that you told me, for the lead, and 96 RBIs, and she's on the third team. She's hitting 370, and she's on the All-American third team. As good as Francesca Nea and Kelsey Bruder are, they have, like, you know, miniature-sized numbers of what Stacey Chambers is doing. And somehow they're on the second team and she's on the third team. I mean, it's not that they shouldn't be on the second team, it's that she should be on the first team.
Yeah.
But I have no idea how they pick these teams at all. I'd like to sit down with someone and pick their brain.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of offended. Like, how can you have 96 RBI is not a great stat, I understand that, but 96 RBIs? God.
That's like, you know, 30 more than Francesca Nea has, or, you know, 30 more than Kelsey Bruder has, and they have nearly double. She has nearly double as many home runs as both of them.
It's really hard to get 96 RBIs in a 162 game major league schedule. Yeah. Never mind a 65 to 75 game softball schedule.
Yeah, exactly. But Arizona did have a very potent offense coming into this game, and they were completely held to nothing, no hits after those first two at bats, and only three walks. You know, didn't get anybody past first base. After the first inning there. So Stacey completely shut them down. It'll be interesting to see if she can keep that up. Let's talk about Florida's bats a little bit. Francesca Nea had a pretty big home run there in the first inning, which you predicted she would have a good Women's College World Series.
Yeah, I when we went out to eat, I said that I thought she'd hit a home run today. I was proven right. I also said some other things which were not proven right. I thought I'd lead with that, though. I said I could see the game being something like, you know, 10-3 Gators or 8-3 Gators or something like that. But it didn't work out like that. Stacey was better than I thought she would do against such a great offense. And they didn't score as many runs as I thought they would against Arizona. Because even though they had success against their starter, once they made the switch to the reliever, Sarah Akamine. Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. But once they made the switch, she was equally as dominant as Stacey, I would say, for the last five innings or so.
Yep. Three hits, seven strikeouts. Very impressive.
Right, yeah. No, she had a really good outing against them. And the other thing I was wrong about so far, we'll see what happens after this game, but Megan Bush hit a home run in her first at-bat of the World Series, took a solo shot into the left field bleachers, and she did not strike out in her three at-bats. So looks like she's off to a much better start than usual. against really good pitching for her, and we'll see. Maybe she can keep it up. I think she strikes out a lot normally, so I'd be surprised. But as of right now, I'm wrong, and I owe her an apology.
You said you could be proven right on this. She went, what, 1-for-16 last year in the Women's College World Series? Maybe that was her one, and from here on out, she's just...
Yeah, she went 1-for-16 last year. It took her until, I believe, the second-to-last game to hit a single.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was pretty brutal last year for her, so it's good to see her get off to a good start, and, you know, we'll see if she keeps it going or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about some of the people, you know, because it wasn't an overall, you know, great impressive showing for Florida at the plate or whatever. You know, only, let's see here, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people with hits. Nobody got more than one hit. What areas can they improve in here? Like, I'm looking at some people like Allie Gardner, who did not get a single hit, Kelsey Bruder, Corey Brooks. You know, where do they need to improve if they're going to be facing better pitching, which they will tonight against Michigan?
Well, honestly, I think he may need to shuffle the lineup, which he's not going to do because they're winning. But you have two players at the top of the order who I don't feel comfortable with getting on base right now. And you're going to disagree with me on this. It's kind of interesting because I have, like, a point of view from 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and you have a point of view from this last year. Mm-hmm. But I don't really trust Christina Hilberth in a situation like this. I know she's hitting, like, 380 or something like that, which is very impressive. And Allie Gardner looks like she's really struggling at the plate. She looked pretty awful swinging the bat today. And she has not had the same year that she had last year.
Yeah.
So I would move the lineup around. This is just common sense. You want your players that are going to get on base the most at the top of the lineup because they're going to get more at bats. So I'd leave Asia in the one hole if you want to do that, no problem. Then I would move somebody a little faster into the two hole that I trust a little more. I don't know. They played Cisco and Walzonia today.
8-9, yeah.
I feel like both of those players are a little faster than Christina. Christina's pretty quick. She has some speed.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like both of those players are a little faster. I might move one of them up into the one of those roles. And then I'd actually probably move Kelsey into the three role, into the three hole. I don't know. I guess Walton probably likes having her behind an Aya to give her a little bit of protection right now. But I don't know. I think I may slide her up, or I may slide Francesca into the three hole and move Kelsey into the four hole. That way you still have some power behind her.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe next game or the game after that, they'll kind of get into a rhythm. But if it stays this way with Allie Gardner, I don't know how long you can leave her in the three hole.
Yeah, like I mean, I hate to say it, but I made the David Ortiz comparison with how she's been recently. It's like you said, a year ago, she was batting 407 and, you know, as her final average. I don't know what she was coming into the Women's College World Series.
She's hit 100 points lower this year, which is remarkable. I never would have predicted that. She, like, there was literally a stretch of games last year, a stretch of 10 or 15 games, where she just didn't make an out. It was completely ridiculous.
Yeah, whereas, you know, she struck out twice in this game. I mean, you know, you can talk about getting out and, you know, hitting the ball well and still getting, you know, into some well-positioned defense. She's just not getting on base at all, which is just not her.
No, I mean, she was 0-for-3, right, with a double play and 2 strikeouts. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much more brutal than that.
No.
You can't really do much worse.
No,
so I don't know what the answer is, and it's really hard to hit against this level of pitching, but you can't have somebody taking an over in the three hole every game or more times than not. So
So I do support your lineup change a little bit, and that I would move her down to maybe 6 or 7. I think what Walton is more likely to do is move Franny up to the third spot, Bruder up to the fourth, Brooks to fifth, Bush to sixth, because you still have a really impressive 3-6 that way, and everybody's a threat to hit a home run or whatever. And he's done that a little bit this year when he's, you know, messed with the lineup and not played seniors. He just moves them up, like, in preparation for next year or whatever. So I don't agree with you about moving Christina away from the two-hole, because I think she can do some stuff. She got on base tonight. She was technically 0-for-3 with the run scored, but there were no errors in the game, and it was not really a fielder's choice. It was a really bizarre play at the beginning of the game that got her on base for Anaya to score in from that home run. But I don't think I would move her away from the top of the lineup unless Kim is, you know, back to her old self or whatever, at which point I would absolutely move her up there. I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean, Kim got a hit today, a nice line drive into center field. And from what I know about the team, I'd rather have Kim hitting up at the top of the lineup than Christina Hilberth. And I'd rather have a healthy Kim up there than her. I think everyone would kind of agree with that. So if you feel like she's healthy and you're playing her, go ahead and put her up there. I mean, her game's not so dependent on power. So if you feel like she's still running okay, then just let her run and be at the top of the lineup. But I could live with her staying in the two hole. I don't know. I think the move that has to happen is probably Allie Gardner dropping down.
Yeah.
And to Walton's credit, last year he actually did fiddle with the lineup during the College World Series. Corey Brooks hit ninth for most of the season. Then she got hot towards the end of the year and in like the SEC tournament and regional, super regional time. And he moved her into the seven hole, I believe, either 8, 7, 8. She worked her way up a couple spots.
Yeah.
And then once she came to the College World Series, she hit as high as fifth for one or two games. So he moved her to the highest point she ever hit last season during this final stretch. So he will do that, I guess, if he feels it's necessary. But as long as they keep winning, I don't know if he's going to feel it's necessary.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he's going to do it. But I think it is kind of nice to know that he's not completely unwilling to do it. Because I feel like if Allie has another over three game, he is, you know, at that point, he's kind of forced to make some changes. But speaking of changes, I want to talk about, you know, the bottom of the lineup, which you mentioned before. Tiffany DeFelice did not start as the designated player today. I believe she's hurt with that left wrist. She wasn't doing a whole lot of warming up or anything. We definitely have to ask about that. We'll find out more about it and talk about it. He started Alicia Cisco, though, at the DP role. Another slap hitter who you've said, you know, several times are really important this time of year. He didn't start Michelle Moultrie, which is the move both of us said we probably would have gone with. What do you think of that decision?
I don't know enough about some of the, like, 9, 10, 11 spot players to really question it, I suppose, because I haven't seen Cisco or Moultrie really play at all this year. I only know what I've read and their stats and stuff like that. So it seems to me that Moultrie would have been the call, though. She got the bulk of the playing time while Azonia went down.
Yeah.
So I was a little confused since I haven't been watching the team, or maybe even somebody like Christine Priebe, because Cisco didn't play the field. So they're just using her in the designated player role. I'm not really sure what he felt like his options were there or what his line of reasoning was. We probably should have asked him that, actually. But the way the game went, it really didn't lend itself for that kind of questioning. So I don't know. We'll see what she did. What she does. She had an infield single today. It looks like she's pretty fast. But I think I may have went a different route. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, she was swinging at some pitches and, you know, striking, you know, get some pretty bad strikes out there that, you know, just didn't really look like she'd been there before. But, I mean, I'm not entirely opposed to the move because she's a slap hitter. She's fast. She can do some different things. And, you know, if Kim at any point doesn't feel like she can play the field, they can mess with that, move Kelsey to center, move, you know, Kim to DP and Alicia to right. But I made the joke before the game that Walton was throwing his lineup out there to the national spotlight to, you know, show like, no, everything's fine here. Kim was never hurt. You know, she's in center like she always was. But it obviously didn't work out because she was batting eighth and ninth in the order or whatever. But I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. I feel like he's at the point with the depth he has that he could mix it around a little bit, play Moultrie in center, Kim at DP, Kim in right, a lot of different things that he can do at this point, and he probably will as the series goes on, especially, you know, if he gets Moultrie out there. I don't know. I could see her as being nervous, maybe. Like, maybe him not wanting to throw her out there because she would be a little nervous in the big spotlight, maybe. I don't know how you feel about that. It's a slight possibility.
I don't see how that's any different for Cisco, though, really.
Just personality-wise, I'm talking. Moultrie, as we've talked about, is a little quiet, a little less.
Yeah, no way. There's no way you're making a decision based on that. So he just thought Cisco was a better start today for whatever reason. But with Kim in center field, I mean, obviously he feels like she's healthy if she's playing center, right?
Yeah, I mean, he said, you know, when she's healthy enough, when she's 100%, she'll be back in center. So
I mean, she's a very good outfielder. I'm just saying, if you feel like she's healthy, I don't know why you're hitting Kim Walzonia ninth. I really don't. I feel like if she's healthy, and presumably she is because you feel good enough to put her in center field, I would hit her at the top of the lineup. She's just too good when she's healthy to be hitting in the nine spot, or at least slide her up a couple spots. I don't know. I feel like that's not the person you want to be giving the least amount of at-bats on your team.
Yeah, and she did only get two in tonight's game, and it was – you know, she went 1-for-2, so she obviously played, you know, pretty well. And I will be interested in seeing how he tracks that. It would not surprise me if they get, you know, they make a deeper run if she's up there batting in her old familiar spot at two. Because Christina Hilberth is obviously not a terrible option to have at ninth if she's leading your team in batting average at this point.
I mean, don't hit her ninth then either if she's leading your team in batting average. Hit your worst hitter should hit ninth. It's a really easy equation. Like, once you get past setting up your first inning of batters in your first like four or five spots, hit whoever your best hitters are after that up in the order, and hit whoever you want to have the least amount of at-bats at the bottom, because that's really all it comes down to. It stands to reason you want to get your best hitters the most amount of at-bats. The only reason you don't hit Francesca and a leadoff is because that gives one less chance for some people to get on base for her at the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think he should move her up, so we'll see what he does.
Yeah, and if he does do that, I should correct myself there. He'll probably move, you know, Christina to eighth or something, and then move one of those freshmen or whoever ends up playing the DP spot down to nine, because like you said, you know, they want to get them the least number of at-bats.
Right. Corey Brooks, she struck out twice today, I think.
Yes, she did.
Both were looking, so I don't know. She didn't have a whole lot of horrible swings. Yeah. I feel like the umpire zone was maybe a little bit inconsistent for her. I'm not really sure, but she looked pretty bewildered by the second call, especially. So I don't know. We'll see what she does, but you can't really kill her too much because she struck out looking, I guess. Although you want to see her get her hacks up there.
Yeah, for a, you know, a power hitter like her, especially, you want to see that. But we were both definitely impressed by Megan Bush out there. Like we were, you know, we said we did not know what to expect for her. Well, actually, if we said we were going to expect anything, it was something bad from her out there. But she definitely came through in that second inning. But I don't know. It was interesting though, because this is a team that always talks about, like, when they get hot, they, you know, they get hits rolling and they get hits consecutively and they get hits in streaks. And really, they didn't today. I don't know if the pitching quality was just that much better. I don't personally think so until Akamine came in.
Well, they hit Sisk really well, the starter for Arizona. And really, the only reason they didn't string hits together is because Gardner hit into a double play in the middle of that rally. Yeah. She was really the only out there in the 1-4 hitters, because then Anaya hit a home run with Hilberth on second base.
Yeah.
So, and then Megan Bush came up the next inning and hit a home run, and then that was it. She got yanked. So yeah, they were hitting her real well. I just think Akamine did a good job keeping them off balance, and she threw the ball real well today and probably should have gotten the start. A little questionable if she didn't get the start from the beginning. That's who I thought would get the start. She had the best numbers on their team, pitched the most amount of innings. So I don't really understand it. Mike Kandrea knows a lot more about softball than me, but I would have started her today.
Mike Kandrea knows a lot about softball, but after the game when he was questioned about it, he told us that hindsight was 50-50, which, you know, I would argue it's not in any way. Hindsight is not 50-50 in any situation. So I don't know. He didn't really have a good justification for starting her.
No, it didn't make any sense. I think he overthought it a little too much, honestly. His reasoning was something like he needed to get a pitcher out there who could show them something up, which that was the quote, and I deciphered that as like maybe she threw a good rise ball or something, probably. And he felt like that was effective against this lineup, so that's what he went for. And, you know, Francesca hit that ball about as good as you possibly can. Yeah. Megan hit the ball well to right field, to left field. Neither of them were wall scrapers. They were both, you know, no doubters pretty much off the bat. So I think if he could do it all over again, he probably wouldn't give Sis the start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Akamine, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts. Really, you know, that's about as well as you're going to pitch against this lineup, not letting them score any runs. So maybe, you know, Michigan learns from that. But Michigan has much better pitching, and Nicky Nimitz, a senior. They played Michigan, that is, played Florida earlier in the year. It was a 4-0 loss in Gainesville. Michigan was on the end of a pretty long road trip at that point. Not quite the team they are now. So it'll be interesting. What are you expecting out of that game tomorrow?
I don't buy the whole end of the road trip. Like, that's really killing them. I mean, I don't know. That's really making excuses for a team, I think. The Gators go out to California every year and play a pretty long road trip about as far away from home as you can possibly do it. And I think traveling to Oklahoma City, you know, is kind of is a road trip for every team.
Well, for us, at least.
So I really don't buy that. I know Walton said that today in the press conference, too. They're at the end of the road trip, so who knows. It's just trying to keep your team motivated.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't see that game, obviously. They scored 4 runs on her, which is pretty encouraging against a good pitcher. But the key is that they scored 0, and no team will win if they score 0 runs. And if that's what Stacey keeps doing, they'll keep winning.
But you know, you said you didn't necessarily buy Michigan before, and then they came out and beat Alabama today. And Alabama was obviously a pretty good team.
Right. Yeah, I was impressed. If you're selling your team something about Michigan, I would sell them that they handled Alabama very easily today. Not that they were at the end of a road trip when you got them the first time. So, it's not like softball has a huge home field advantage either, honestly. But, yeah, they came out against Alabama today, and they really beat them good.
Yeah.
But I've never been impressed with Kelsey Dunn ever since I saw her last year. She was a freshman, And I know I mostly got to see her against UF, although I did see her in the World Series last year as well. Mm-hmm. And she's never impressed me at all. And I know she came off two no-hitters coming into the World Series, but I've always said, like, Kelsey Dunn, I don't know. Yeah. And she didn't do much to shut down Michigan. So I don't know if I really put a lot of stock into beating Kelsey Dunn.
Well, the two no-hitters should carry no stock because they were against Jacksonville State, which is a joke as far as I'm concerned. Kelsey Dunn, she was a first-team All-American and everything, but except for that third game of the Florida series, you know, which at that point really only impressed me because she'd thrown 400 pitches or whatever and was still going pretty strong, I would say that she's never really impressed me. She's always given up a lot of runs to Florida. She completely crapped the bet against Michigan today. That was disgusting how badly Michigan beat them.
I mean, her defense really let her down, too. They made a few errors. It led to a lot of runs, but at the same time, she gave up a home run, and she got hit pretty hard.
And I've always argued that when Kelsey Dunn does not have the perfect zone that she's looking for, she really gets thrown out of her game. Like, she complains about calls. She always, you know, gets really exasperated in a Tim Duncan-esque way when a call doesn't go her way. And she didn't have that against Michigan. She didn't have that against Florida at the SEC tournament. And, you know, if she doesn't have it, as the rest of this tournament, I think Alabama might be 2-and-out.
Yeah, and Alabama didn't hit the ball at all today, which is a little weird. They hit the ball in the final inning when they were down by a ton of runs, and someone hit a double off the fence for them. I can't remember who. Nah. But it was not Montalvo, and it wasn't Charlotte Morgan. So it doesn't look good if you're Alabama. They might drop this next game to Arizona and just be done real quick. Yeah. But yeah, Michigan tomorrow for the Gators, I fully expect them to win that game. Also, I don't see any reason why Stacey wouldn't have a lot of success against them.
Yeah, I can't see any reason at this point. She pitched them well earlier in the season. That was the game where she said she felt like she could have pitched three games in a row, which, you know, I mean, if she gets that amped up to play the team this time, and the team is really amped up to be here, you can feel it, but, you know, they're still really loose. They're playing, they're pitching absolutely as well as they pitched all season, and their hitting is going to pick up once they get streaks thrown, and maybe if Allie Gardner, you know, doesn't ground into some inning double plays. So, I don't know.
And I think it's the two players that hit home runs for them today, Anaya and Megan Bush, that's really important for the two of them. So I think if I was going to pick two players who were really likely to start pressing if things didn't go well, I may have picked them because Megan struggled so bad last year here that if she got off to a bad start, I can't imagine she wouldn't have started thinking, why can't I hit in Oklahoma City? Like, I need to get some hits here. This is really getting bad. It's snowballing. And that's definitely going to affect you in the batter's box. And then having a little more contact with Francesca than the rest of the players, I just know she gets really upset and it bothers her a lot when she doesn't play well and she starts to get really down on herself. And you can see after she hit that home run today that she was really, like, that was probably the most excited I've ever seen her running around the bases. She did not take a home run jog. She took a home run sprint for sure, and was really excited coming home into home plate. And you could just tell that it's important for her to do well right off the bat. So I think their lineup will be good. I think Asia, you know, got another hit today. She looks fine at the top of the order. And it's going to be really hard for any team to beat them. I think Washington has the best shot, but I don't think they have to seriously worry until that game.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, like you mentioned Asia, she had a hit and a walk. She did what, you know, she did what she does. She's, you know, she's pretty consistent up there at the top of the lineup. I think you got to be pretty impressed by what she's done in that leadoff spot. I guess let's talk a little bit more about the trip up here in Oklahoma City. We are, like I said, in our hotel, our luxurious hotel, the quality in here in quote-unquote Bricktown, through the industrial ghetto away from downtown. Have you enjoyed the second day of the trip?
Second day of the trip was good. A lot of sleep, which I really needed. We got up and we went to Abuelo's to eat, which is Tim Walton's favorite restaurant in Oklahoma City.
It was a scoop.
Yeah, in case anyone was wondering that out there. And, you know, we kind of lazily made our way to the field. But deadline was extremely rough tonight, and I'm not looking forward to doing that again tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth noting that the game started an hour after it should have started. TV completely screws with the entire schedule. Games that should take an hour and a half take 2.5 hours. Just destroys us up there in the press because, you know, we're making print deadlines at midnight, on Eastern time, and we're getting games that end at 12 Central time, so it really hurts us.
And this is really the complete opposite of the SEC baseball tournament, where I would cover one game at 10 o'clock in the morning I have to write a story that was in by 7 o'clock at night, and it was just a joke. We would go to the game, get quotes, not write anything, go back to the hotel, put together a story at our leisure and still have it in 2 to 3 hours before a deadline. So this was, I had to send in a story to the Times Union before the game was even over,
yeah,
with the disclaimer, like, all these stats are good as long as Arizona doesn't get any more hits. So luckily it worked out okay in that the story didn't change from start to finish. Pretty much anything you needed to know in that game happened in the first two innings. It must have been really boring to watch on TV, yeah, past that point, now that I think about it.
Yeah, because we started writing about the first inning. Maybe the second is when, you know, we were kind of confident, like, all right, we got our storyline here. I can't really imagine watching that game, just sitting there and watching, you know, scoreless inning after scoreless inning after scoreless inning there.
No, I mean, there were a lot of strikeouts, so it was cool to see a pretty dominant pitching performance by two players.
Yeah.
But neither team got anything going, no, even threatened, in my opinion. I know Stacey said something in the press conference about she never felt safe on any at bat, and she was always trying to be real focused and not let up. But there was not a threat past, no, that second inning by either team. It was really a pitcher's duel for the last few innings.
Yeah.
And that's never what you want to see. You want to see home runs and base running and just exciting play all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a little bit of preview probably of what things to come, you know, later on in the tournament when you're seeing Washington and Florida sort of making their runs through there. And even, you know, the first game before that was not a pitcher's duel at all, with Michigan putting up, what was the final, 6 runs on Alabama, I believe.
Yes, I think it was 6 runs.
Yeah.
Don't hold me to that.
It's not like we're looking this up or anything.
No.
But yeah, look for more dominant pitching as the tournament goes on, absolutely. To go back to our day here in Oklahoma City, I guess I'll give my perspective from the whole thing. I woke up with the most brutal headache of all time.
Yeah, you didn't look so high.
Kyle was concerned for my health at one point. I was concerned for my health at one point. It was disgusting. I don't know what got into me. It was one of those headaches that goes from the top of your head to your shoulders. It was like on the left side of my body. I was, you know, dismantled. It's by the drive, I guess it was. I don't know.
The beginning of a stroke, perhaps.
I don't know about that, but maybe if we hadn't got back to the hotel from Abuelo's in time, I don't know if I would have passed out on the streets of Bricktown. I don't know. But yeah, we came back, like Kyle says, very lazy day. It's very enjoyable in that sense. And that's the only positive part, I'd say, of games starting late. You can really just do whatever you want to for the day. You can wake up at 1 if you want to, watch some Arrested Development, as I am wont to do, and, you know, move on with your day. So we'll be seeing more of that tomorrow at 9. Florida will probably then have the day off if they win that game Saturday. So, you know, we'll get to do some other media opportunities, maybe explore the city, whatever there is to see of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're going to do on that off day, but we'll find something to do. But,
yes.
Yeah, I the first couple days could be kind of boring here. Just sleeping in, you know, making our way to the field at 9 o'clock, and then we get that day off where, you know, I don't really know what we're going to do. But if they beat Michigan, who do they see in the next round? I don't quite remember.
I honestly can't pull it out of my head right now.
Let's
see. It would be the winner of the – it would be the winner of whoever loses between Arizona State – no, who – Missouri and – somebody up there in that top of the bracket is going to flip around. I don't know. The whole system is a little complex because there's swapping involved, as I would best describe it.
Right. Well, the swapping is a really good thing because, as I explained, the SEC baseball tournament doesn't have swapping.
Mm.
So if this was the SEC baseball tournament, Florida would beat Michigan in this game. Michigan would go ahead and beat whoever that team that wins the Arizona game is,
yeah.
And then they get Michigan again,
yeah,
in the third game. So that's what SEC baseball tournament's like, which is how UF draws Arkansas twice in 3 games. But in this one, you actually get the flip, and I think they'll play some combination. If we assume Washington wins.
Which, yeah, they're going to.
They're going to face either Georgia, Missouri, or
Arizona State. Yeah.
So out of those three, I'd put my money on Arizona State,
I think.
So. They won today, so I guess for no other reason than that,
yeah,
I like their chances.
Georgia didn't look too bad against Washington.
No, and they had the toughest draw,
absolutely,
of those teams, obviously. So maybe Georgia comes out of there. I think we both think Missouri's going to go 2-0.
Yeah, yeah. It just – things are not looking up for Missouri right
now. They had a nice run to this point. They upset UCLA to get here.
Yeah.
But they'll probably dip out.
I think they're done.
The UF will probably draw Georgia, an SEC team, or Arizona State, last year's champions,
mm-hmm,
and I like their chances a lot against either of those teams. So I think really their toughest games are maybe this next one against Michigan, and then the championship against Washington.
Yeah, which we're going to presume. But yeah, they destroyed Georgia earlier in the year. That was the game during spring break. Just completely dismantled them. You know, the Michigan win was even less convincing, I'd say. So I'd say the Michigan game is probably the hardest one until a potential matchup with Washington. I don't know how they match up with Arizona State. They're a pretty big, you know, scoring team right there and offensive-based.
Yeah, I'd say they're more offense. That just because they lost their pitcher from last year, Katie Burkhardt, who won the Most Outstanding Player Award here in Oklahoma City a season ago. And their best player is, without a doubt, Cochran, who's obviously a really good hitter.
Yeah.
So I think I saw their pitcher who they threw today, whose name escapes me. Her ERA was like 2.94 coming into today's game, and she gave up 3 runs right on that mark, which was good enough to beat Missouri, but probably not good enough to beat Florida if you give up 3 runs.
Probably not, especially because you saw like this girl today, Akamine, or you know the whole team or whatever, Sisk, I should say, was about a three ERA, 2.41, that range.
Yes, I believe so.
And she went out, gave up 3.
No, Akamine was 2.41. She had the lowest ERA on the team, which is why I thought they would start her. And I think Sisk was somewhere around 3.
So
I think he had them flip-flop. But, yeah, I mean, either way, she gave up about what she was supposed to.
Yeah, that's the point I was stumbling toward and then tripped, and then he picked me up there, so I appreciate that.
If UF scores more than – if they jump on the board with 2 early like they did today, it's almost impossible to beat them. Mm-hmm. The only way you beat them is if you win 1-0. That's kind of what's happened the last few years. That's the proven way to beat them is you get a really good outing from one of your pitchers. Last year, Lafayette beat them 3-2, and that's really the only time I remember them losing a game like that where they scored multiple runs and still couldn't win.
Yeah, you beat them 1-0 and you beat them in like 9 innings.
Right.
By the time the defense makes a mistake or Stacey, you know, gives up a couple hits in a row.
Right. That's definitely the way they do that. You have to beat them. If their offense gets going, and by gets going, I mean just scores 2 to 3 runs, it's really, really hard to score off Stacey Nelson. She's given up 15 earned runs this entire season. That's unbelievable. And like I think it's 260 some innings now, 15 earned runs.
Yeah.
That's so dominant. She should have won the Player of the Year award. I was leaning towards Laurie because for a little bit, I got distracted by all those strikeouts. But for her to have an ERA of 0.4 now it's pretty much 0.4 even.
Yeah.
That's unheard. You can't do that in anything. Yeah. I don't care. You can move the mound in 15 feet and it's still impossible to do what she's doing right now.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, that award has become a little more absurd by the hour.
Yeah, I was not too Stacey heavy yesterday or even like maybe the day before that. But after watching her pitch today, I couldn't believe it. And she kind of made a statement. She struck out 12 batters against the best hitting team in the nation. It's really hard to strike out 12 batters.
She's certainly making a case for a tournament most valuable player. Absolutely. If Florida goes on to win this.
And I really believe that that's almost as good as player of the year.
Yeah, we talked about
it. I really do, because you're just measuring it over who's playing the best against the best teams in the country, and you don't have puff teams that you're building your resume against, you know? So
yeah.
It would be really impressive for her to take that home, and it wouldn't shock me at all for her to win that. So
no, absolutely not. And I think, you know, like you said, this is the pitcher's part of the year, and if they're gonna win this thing, it's gonna be, you know, with on her back, and she certainly showed that today. So like you said, not a surprise. I would virtually guarantee it if Florida wins the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I think that about wraps it up. Wraps it up for tonight's show. Like we said, we don't know what we'll be up to in the next couple of days. I can guarantee you that whatever we're up to, it won't be after midnight here in Oklahoma City, because apparently the entire place shuts down after midnight, as we discovered while trying to make a food run. The only place that was open was Taco Bell, which I reluctantly conceded to.
I mean, I'm always down for Taco Bell, so I wasn't too disappointed, but here's what I am disappointed with. If you ever venture out to Oklahoma City and you're looking for a late night food place, you may be fooled by the fact that there are 2 Sonics in downtown Oklahoma, right in the heart of Bricktown. Something that excited me a great deal. Right after the game, I asked Adam, what's the chances you're going to want to get food and make a run to Sonic? He said 100% chances. So we went ahead and we hit that up. And the first Sonic we stopped at, I would argue, is not a Sonic, should change its name. If I was describing a Sonic to anyone out there, I would say, oh, it's a good fast food place. They serve burgers. You drive up, you sit in your car, you order from your car, and they bring the food out to you. Oh, yeah, and it's open 24 hours. This Sonic, you don't drive up. It's a walk-in only, and it's open till midnight and no later. So I would say it has neither of the defining characteristics of a Sonic. It's pretty much just using the name to lure people in. At this, maybe they serve different kinds of food there. It could be an Italian place. I wouldn't be too surprised. Then the second Sonic we went to looked like a Sonic. It just wasn't open 24 hours, which I didn't really understand. So Taco Bell's right next door. We did what we had to do.
I mean, I reached the point where I was threatening to not eat at all if Taco Bell was our only option.
Yeah.
Then we rolled up. I saw that chicken quesadilla, and I was in. I was in.
And I'm sure you're glad you were.
Absolutely. I mean, it was that or the leftover food that from Abuelo's that I was unable to eat because of my crippling disease that overcame me at the beginning of the day here. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Send any feedback to sports@alligator.org. Comment on our blogs. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/alligatorsports. We're updating, you know, and whenever we feel like it, mostly from out here in Oklahoma City. Kyle's writing haikus. I'm actually providing information.
I want to see how long I can keep the haiku thing going. I said I would only update in haikus from here on out. Doesn't give me a whole lot of characters to work with. It's, you know, Twitter's... I'm going to Twitter on my terms. Don't tell me I have 140 characters to work with. I rather think of it as I have 17 syllables to work with. So I'm going to try to take the haiku thing as far as we can go. I don't want to take this Twitter thing too seriously because I'm honestly not a huge fan of the whole system. So I'll put some updates on there, let you know what I'm thinking. But for as far as the real practical stuff, you're going to have to rely on Adam and Phil for that. I'm sorry.
Because Phil will apparently update it from back in Gainesville when for information that's breaking here in Oklahoma City. So.
Absolutely. Assuming he's awake.
Yeah. All right. So look forward to that. And also look forward to more podcasts from out here. I did not think we'd be able to get nearly 40 minutes of information off of one night here. But we'll definitely keep updating. Maybe not on the off day, but certainly as we get closer to the championship game. And probably after tomorrow night's another late night game. More deadlines against Michigan. So check back. Anything else you got to say, Kyle?
Nope, that's it. We'll probably talk to you tomorrow after the Michigan game, so stay tuned.
All right, thanks for listening.